Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students. And later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt, which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
time is running out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Don't forget, this hour of Live and Local Now is brought to you in part by Meowawana. Ask for the Kevin Wall 15% discount on the best catnip on the planet. Treat your BFF, that's a best feline friend, to something special. Grab your smartphone, check out meowawana.com. That's meowawana.com. Well, it happens in sports. And it happens in radio, too. Sometimes you need a pinch hitter. So it is. Kayleigh McEnany was supposed to join us. Instead, Cassie Smedley joining us, the National Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. She joins us. Thanks on short notice for stepping in.
Well, thanks for allowing me to step in. Great to be with you.
I want to ask you, I was going to ask Kayleigh this, and I'll ask you, can you talk in broad terms about what the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh? A lot of people thought it wasn't going to happen. A lot of people thought we were going to have to cave on this one. Can you talk a little bit about what this means?
Well, in a word, motivating. What we've seen across the board, from our volunteers to our donors to really just conversations that you're having, I'm sure you've seen this, with friends and family and your neighbors. People are talking about it. They don't like how the Democrats handled this. They're glad that the Republicans stuck it out and got Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh, confirmed. And you can bet over the next 29 days, this will be one of the top, if not the single biggest issue driving our voters to the polls, just as it was in 2016.
Hey, Cassie, let me ask you. I saw Kayleigh on with Chris Wallace. He couldn't even pronounce her name. Come on, Chris.
Oh,
I know. But one thing that Kayleigh brought to the party was she's seen numbers. Maybe you've seen the same numbers. Mm-hmm. And they are very, very positive for Republicans, and all a result of this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing. Can you talk a little bit about what you know and what you can tell us? I know there's probably a lot you can't tell us, but can you get into some of the dynamics of what you're seeing from a poll and a data perspective?
Sure. Well, everyone talks about polling, but we don't think pollsters should be let out of timeout just yet. So at the RNC, we don't do so much polling as we do what's called modeling, which is a much more accurate way of figuring out where folks are and what is important to them. And on that, internally, we've seen that in every key state, which of course includes Nevada, very certainly not just with Dean Heller, but also in the congressional races, these races have tightened very narrowly, if not flipped in our favor. And we call that the Kavanaugh bump. And I talked about volunteers and donations, just a little more perspective there. We've had over 300,000 new volunteer leads since the judge was announced. And we've also had our single biggest online fundraising day last Sunday, a week ago, which, of course, was right in the thick of all of this Kavanaugh confirmation nonsense, I guess. And so that right there gives you two examples of really crystallizing what this is, what this means for our voters and for our base. And like I said, we're not letting up on the gas on this for the next 29 days. It's all you're going to hear about, because we know that it's a huge motivating factor for our voters, as it should be. We've seen what the Democrats do when they get any semblance of control over an issue, and we can't allow this to happen.
Democrats are saying, "Oh, we're motivated too. We've got our angry mob out there, and we're going to make it difficult for people to run, as Republicans." Are you seeing that?
Well, sure, they are motivated as well. But as our chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, so eloquently put it, they're motivated to make a mob out in front of the Supreme Court. We're motivated to go knock doors and get folks to the polls. So what you're seeing on cable news is here in the epicenter of the swamp. But what we're seeing out in these battleground states is people actually being motivated to go take an action, which is vote. And if I can say to your listeners, go to vote.gop, either to register to vote, find your polling location, get your absentee ballot in. That's a one-stop shop to vote.
And I know we've been telling people like every 10 minutes, early voting begins October 20th. Mm-hmm. October 20th here in the state of Nevada. So no matter where you live, if you live in Battle Mountain or Ely or Sparks or Carson City or Hawthorne or Pahrump, wherever it is, early voting begins October 20th. I'm curious. There's been a lot of money that's been spent by the left on this Brett Kavanaugh campaign. Can you talk a little bit about? And I know you touched on the one huge fundraising day. The fundraising numbers are off the chart for the RNC.
That's right, for not just the RNC, but our sister committees as well, the campaign committee and the Senate committee. We've seen a 500% increase in online donations from this time in 2016. So that's an incredible amount. This is always a time where you see an increase in donations, but it's almost double percentage-wise what we saw over the presidential year. So just incredible amounts, again, of momentum that we're seeing as a result of this one issue. And here's the difference that we have at the RNC versus the Democrats. Our organization is here at the hub of the party. For Democrats, all of these candidates are either left to their own devices or having to rely on outside groups. But for Republican candidates, the data, the grassroots and volunteers, all of that is from this Republican Party and state party infrastructure, which is a huge advantage for our Republican candidates who don't have to spend their hard-earned dollars on email lists or recruiting volunteers. They get all of that by virtue of being part of the Republican Party, so they can spend that money on ads or however they see fit. So we think that's a huge advantage, and in particular in these close races, which we know there will be many this November, we think that will be the difference that's going to make all the difference as we seek to expand our majorities in both the House and the Senate.
Cassie Smedley joining us, the National Press Secretary for the RNC, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline from our nation's capital. I want to ask you, the president is either en route or is in Orlando to speak to Police Chiefs Association?
That's right. They're a big national conference. And that's a huge place for our president to be. I think there's no question that he's a great supporter of our law enforcement. And certainly this cycle, Democrats have tried to make abolishing ICE a national issue, but I think there are far more Americans who want to spend their time supporting law enforcement and supporting our ICE agents. And so I think it's great to hear directly from our commander-in-chief at the conference today. And I know that message is replicated through all of our candidates across the country. No question, the party that stands on the side of law enforcement is the Republican Party.
Hey, Cassie, I want to ask you, the president was in Mississippi. He's been in Minnesota. He's been in, he was just in my old stomping grounds in Topeka, Kansas. And I understand that the message is going to be very similar between now and Election Day, that you've got choices. You look at all the positives that this president has brought to the party. The Democrats are aching to undo all of it. Where will the president be? I know you get his schedule not too far out, but in the next week, where's the president going?
Well, that's right. Well, we know he'll be in Iowa tomorrow. I think he's going to round out the week in Ohio. And I'm not sure what else has been announced, but this pace, we can hardly keep up with them. He's going to be out there at least every other day in a different city, whether that's Orlando today or, of course, tonight he'll be back. I think the only reason he's not doing a rally tonight is because he's going to do the formal swearing-in of Justice Kavanaugh tonight. And then we expect to see him on the road most every day the rest of the week. And that's huge because, of course, no one can turn out our base better than the president. And it's important to note that all of this good news is not coincidental. This is happening as a direct result of having President Trump in the White House and a Republican Congress supporting his agenda, which is the American people's agenda, right? Nobody pays closer attention to the needs and desires of the American people than the president. And so it's great to have him out on the road. That's great, not just for the people to hear from their president, but also for these candidates and elected members of Congress who are great supporters of that agenda. All of that works hand in glove together. And I love that you mentioned you're from Topeka. I'm from Kansas City.
I'm actually from Kansas City, but I claim Topeka, having grown up in Prairie Village and being a Kansas sort of guy. So I'm actually a Kansas City guy. Went to Rockhurst High School and all of that. I just love it. I want to give you the last couple of minutes because I know, and we track this. We have candidates in all the time, and they talk about they're walking. They're going to spend 30 minutes with us, but then they got to get back to walking and knocking on doors. But I want to talk about what the RNC is doing. I know that Dan Coats and Keely Broome and the entire RNC staff that weren't just parachuted in here like yesterday. They've been here for a year or so, actually working. Can you tell us what your folks are going to be doing in this final month before Election Day?
That's right. I'm so glad you brought this up. And, of course, our Nevada team is one of our best in the country. They're just an awesome team of folks who, to your point, have been here. Gone are the days when political operatives hop in the week or two before an election. They live there. They're of the community, and they recruit other volunteers and staff who are from these areas around the state. So that when you're talking to someone about who you should vote for, that someone is not a political operative so much as they're your neighbor or your coworker or just a longtime friend. And that makes a big difference in how you receive that conversation, right? So our team in Nevada has been doing an awesome job. And actually, I have to give a big shout out to Dean Heller himself, who has become a neighborhood team leader. He's gone through our training program. He's out there knocking doors. He's got his own team of folks that he's keeping track of. So Nevada is one of our standout examples of how this all should work. And we're replicating that across the country. We're in 28 states with a full-time staff. And these are folks, many of them didn't stop after 2016. It's been a permanent presence. And after November 6th, when we turn our full attention to the president's reelection, all of those folks will remain engaged for that effort as well, which is, a huge advantage over the Democrats, because to have that permanent data-driven ground game, as we call it, in place, being driven by the party, not just by the candidate. You know, Barack Obama, he did a very similar infrastructure. In fact, we borrowed a lot of this from him, but it was just about him. And that's the difference. This is about the party and about all Republican candidates. And it's supported by President Trump. He is fully involved in this, and we work hand in glove with his campaign. And we're able to have a great success across the country as a result. So this is a long-term commitment to working the priorities and interests of constituents and of Americans, and we're very glad for all the engagement. This is the largest ground game we've had in our party's history. This week, we will have contacted, by just phones and doors, more people than we did in all of 2016, which is really pretty incredible considering that was a presidential election. So we're hugely proud of this effort. Thanks for the time to talk about it, and of course to give an extra shout out to our Nevada team, who are just some of the best in the country.
They are indeed. Cassie, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon, I promise.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, Cassie. There you go, Cassie Smedley joining us. And a native Kansas Cityan, like myself. Gotta love that. Stick around, more to do. I'm going to let you hear more from the president. He was brilliant over the weekend in, of all places, Topeka, Kansas. I've been there 100 times. It's the capital of the state of Kansas. We'll take you back to Topeka, Kansas, coming up in just a couple minutes. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As attorney general, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th, paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
I'm Cosette Vergeri. I'm an attorney, and I'm a client of City National Bank. When I started my law practice, one of the very important things was choosing the right bank. The initial referral to City National Bank came from Richard Moon. He is my CPA.
She was looking to establish a banking relationship, and I had been with City National about 3 years.
There was a much more personal touch, much more interest in who I was as an individual, who I was as a lawyer, and what I needed to do with my business. And the online services are really great because I can manage my accounts from anywhere I'm traveling, which really helps me handle my business.
The referral did get me a date.
It did lead to a marriage.
I would never think of leaving City National Bank.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herline. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. The president was in Topeka, Kansas, a barn burner of a speech. But after the speech, went on Fox News Channel with Judge Jeanine Pirro and said that going after Dr. Christine Blasey Ford by Republicans was really a turning point for the Republican Party.
There was one point where you pivoted at a rally in Mississippi just a few days ago. You went off script, and some people said that you were extremely unkind to Christine Ford. But what was it that got you to pivot from your restraint about her and to fight for Kavanaugh at that point?
Well, there were a lot of things happening that weren't correct. They weren't true. And there were a lot of things that were left unsaid. And I thought I had to even the playing field because it was very unfair to judge. Now I can, very nicely say Justice Kavanaugh.
Right,
and,
right.
It was a very unfair situation. So I evened the playing field. And once I did that, it started to sail through. He was treated very, very unfairly, Jeanine.
And Mr. President, when you say it started to sail through, even the Washington Post, I'm going to repeat that, even the Washington Post, top of the fold today, talks about the fact that when you went off script and you went after Christine Ford, saying nothing that wasn't already true, talking about her memory failures regarding the fundamentals of her assault, they said it was a turning point to victory, that when you did that, you turbocharged the momentum behind Kavanaugh. When his fate was most in doubt, I mean, there's no question that he has to turn around and the country and recognize that what you did was instinctive, it was guttural, and you did it, and you won.
Well, I think it was a very important moment. It was a very big turning point, as the Washington Post was actually, shockingly, they said something that was very positive. And I'm very proud of it because we have we're going to have a great, great justice of the Supreme Court for many years. And I fought hard to make sure that he got on. And you're going to see what happens. You're going to see how great he will be and will become.
I thought he was great on Judge Jeanine's show. And it's one of the and don't think those poor people at CNN, those poor SOBs at CNN and MSNBC, they're saying, how come the president won't come on with us? Get it? Do you finally get it? Anyway, coming up, bottom of the hour. Amy Tarkanian, an article in the RJ saying that she's looking at a run for city council, Las Vegas City Council, and running for her mother-in-law's seat. Lois Tarkanian, she's a Democrat. And the former chair of the Nevada Republican Party, and Danny Tarkanian's spouse is looking at running for that seat. Would that be wild or what? I've had a lot of people over the years say, how come Amy doesn't run? Wouldn't it be great to have husband and wife people running for office? It's happening around the state. Yeah. Ira Hansen and his wife, there are all kinds of folks that are running. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Live and local now.
Nobody's waiting by your side. You've been running, fighting much too long.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. We're closing in on Election Day, November 6th. But don't forget, October 20th is the first day of early voting. I beg you, please do not leave it to Election Day. You'll be standing in long lines. Something may happen, something with your business, something with your kids, and it'll take you either out of the city or out of the state. Do yourself a favor, early vote beginning October 20th. One of the races that you'll be voting on if you live in CD3 is the razor-thin race between Danny Tarkanian and Susie Lee. A little bit later on in the week, by the way, we'll be hearing from Danny Tarkanian, and we'll get his assessment of the race. But I want to welcome in an old friend and a woman who may have a political career of her own, if you believe the article in the Las Vegas Review-Journal over the weekend, word that maybe Amy Tarkanian is going to run for the Las Vegas City Council, the seat currently held by her mother-in-law, Lois Tarkanian, a Democrat. Let's bring in Amy Tarkanian. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I am just fine. Amy joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Let's go to the 800-pound elephant in the room, the story in the RJ. Is it true?
Is it true? You know what's so funny is I've been here in Nevada since 2002, and I think I've been asked to run for almost every possible office out there. And, you know, that's a compliment. I think that's, you know, I love the fact that people feel that they have confidence in me to be able to speak on behalf of Nevadans, and I'm very grateful for that. This is true. This is finally, I'm at a time in my life where my kids are a lot older. My oldest is 15 and a half. My youngest is 8 and a half. Or 8 3/4, as he likes to correct me. And they can all make their own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They can all, you know, put a bandage on if they, you know, have a boo-boo on their knee or something. I live right behind my mother-in-law. My sister-in-law lives in the same neighborhood. My other sister-in-law lives a block away. So I've got plenty of family support. If this is right for my family, the right time for everyone, because there's a lot of moving pieces. You mentioned that my husband's running for Congressional District 3. You know, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. But this one in particular, this race, the city council race, actually is a little bit more near and dear to my heart because I've watched my mother-in-law over the years put her whole heart and soul into it. And it would be a shame to watch everything that she's worked so tirelessly for, just go to shambles and for someone to come in after her and mess things up. You mentioned also too our party affiliation. Yes, I'm a registered Republican, and yes, my mother-in-law is a registered Democrat, but guess what, folks? It's a nonpartisan seat. That's also something that's appealing to me. I pride myself in having lots of relationships, very close relationships with folks who are not just part of the Republican Party. I thoroughly enjoy going on to shows like MSNBC, RT, and CNN, not just Fox, and people think I'm crazy, but I personally don't feel that it's okay to remain in a safe bubble. I think you can get more accomplished if you reach across party lines, if you sit and listen to each other on a regular basis. You may not always agree, but there are moments where I will sit with the other side, and I will say, I don't quite understand, you know, explain this to me, or they'll do the same with me, and then maybe at the end of the conversation, I'll have changed my mind. Now, not always, but sometimes, and I don't plan on voting 100% like my mother-in-law, but I definitely, if I'm going to run, plan on having my mother-in-law in my ear as much as possible, because I think I would be ignorant to not welcome her advice. She is 84. She is mayor pro tem. She didn't just get here where she is overnight. She has the experience. She has the knowledge. She is incredibly intelligent. And there's a reason why I named my firstborn after her. I love her dearly. And so this is also, this is a personal thing for me as well, if I were to make this choice.
Let me ask you, first of all, when is, and I apologize for not knowing this off the top of my head, when is the municipal election?
It wouldn't be until next year, like in the springtime. So actually, I don't have to file. The filing is in February. So for me, when the Review Journal contacted me, when Ramona contacted me a few days ago and said, hey, listen, the rumors are now thick. They're too heavy to ignore. Can I finally do a story on you? And I said, okay, on two conditions. One, if you write it as as honest as possible, you know, in showing that this is one of many possibilities on my plate, that there are many moving pieces. And then number two, that it doesn't put my mother-in-law in an awkward position for whoever else is also going to throw their hat in case I don't run. So she did so, and I said, okay, go ahead, gave her the green light, and she wrote the story, and I was actually very pleased with it.
I'm curious what the conversations have been like with Lois. I'm assuming you have run this by her. Do you have her blessing? Do you have her endorsement?
Well, I have not officially filed. So my mother-in-law is very calculated. She's very wise in her timing and in her choice of words. And I would not ask that of her until I had filed. We have had this discussion. She's very well aware that this is one of many possibilities. She, of course, you know, as a mother figure to me, she, of course, is, you know, worried. She's worried, you know, daily watching her own son going through all the lies and the mudslinging, and it hurts her heart. So, you know, that right there, she's hesitant on, you know, having another family member go through that. But she knows that I'm strong. She knows that I'm tough. She knows that I will sit here and take her advice for the most part. And so she's all for it. She's not going to tell me yes. She's not going to tell me no. But she's all for it, for whatever seems to be right for our family. You know, if and when my husband wins, there's so many different pieces, like I mentioned. You know, the whole family could up and move, which would be, you know, phenomenal. That's ideal. I could possibly get a job with the RNC, with the Trump administration, or a regular paid gig on television, since that's where most of the main hubs are. They're in New York and in D.C. Or we have a high school student who's not too thrilled about having to leave high school in the middle. You know, what if half of us stayed back and the other half went over there? Then if we stayed here, then yes, I would run. If we all stayed here and Danny just went back and forth like most Congress people do, then yes, I would run. But we're not going to have this actual discussion until the morning of November 7th.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a better idea of what it is that we're actually going to do as a family. So, but the first people that will know will be my husband, my mother-in-law, and then I've got a few phone calls to make.
There you go. There you go. Let me get you back to today, the here and now. A column by Victor Jakes in the RJ over the weekend that details some financial impropriety by Susie Lee. Can you talk about, first of all, have you seen the column? And
I have not seen the column.
Okay. But apparently late on property taxes and a whole host of things. Have you seen in any of the opposition research any of this stuff?
I have touched on it. I know that there's a couple of nonprofits in particular that she likes to tell the public and that she's done all these wonderful, magical things for, and they've actually crumbled and been a nightmare. One of them was dealing with her school project, and I can't remember what the name of it is on the top of my head. It's something about communities and schools or something. Mm-hmm. And it come to find out, there's actually been several million dollars that have been taken from the school district to fund her project, which she says it's helping all kinds of graduation rates and whatnot.
Keeping kids in school.
Well, you know what? If she wants to go and praise that she's doing all these wonderful things, well, shouldn't we be using that money maybe to pay our teachers more? Actually, we're still last in the nation as far as education goes, so I wouldn't be out there patting myself on the back if I were her. And from what I understand, too, she's got a fundraiser coming up in November, and she mailed out invitations. They're quite expensive, not just a regular piece of paper. There's a box with a headpiece that lights up and a candy bracelet and then a booklet on the menu. I mean, I don't know how much each invitation costs, but that was coming from a nonprofit organization. Give me a break. And then she's got another one that's called MASH that she set up she was on the board that supposedly was supposed to help the homeless people here. And even Oscar Goodman, the former mayor, is quoted as saying that it was a disaster, and that crumbled. It ran miserably. And then from what you're talking about, I'll have to go back and take a look at Victor's article in the RJ, but I know that she hasn't paid her property taxes, and she owns 17 homes.
Yeah, it's
a big problem with her.
Well, you know, the problem is, coming into the race, the only thing we knew is she was really rich, and mm-hmm. she was some sort of philanthropist. And now we're filling in the blanks, and it's not quite as good looking as we thought.
No, and you can't be mad at her for you know, living well. I mean, don't we all? Isn't that our goal, is to have everyone with a big paycheck and be able to buy whatever car you'd like and clothes you'd like and whatever home you'd like? But it's the mismanagement and the deceitfulness that she's got entangled behind all of her so-called philanthropy and personal lifestyle.
And again, we don't all live the same way that Susie Lee does. She's got, I want to say either 17 or 21 properties that she actually owns. So this woman lives a lot different than most of us live. Those of us that live paycheck to paycheck, that's a little different. I want to ask you, well, what is your sense of the race? Early voting begins October 20th. Give me a sense. You've seen the numbers. I know you've seen the internals. You've seen the public polling. Give me a sense of where this is. Is it as razor thin as everybody talks?
Well, here's the thing, is I don't think people understand the importance of Congressional District 3. Yes, it is vitally important for Congress. We get that. This is probably one of the, if not the most important race, the most targeted race in the country, because it has been Republican virtually every year, especially every non-presidential year, and it could determine who is in control, Democrats or Republicans. So Democrats realize that too. So they put in a lot of money into this race. But you've got Senator Heller. He can't win his reelection unless he wins CD3 anywhere from 3 to 5%. You will not have a Governor Adam Laxalt unless he wins CD3 by 3 to 5%. So with that being said, this is important for the very top of the ticket working its way down. CD3 is a heavy target on both sides, and they're focusing heavily on the independents and nonpartisans, because as we all know, the registration in those areas have increased dramatically. And I'm going to tell you, I honestly feel, and I have over the years, I've seen poll after poll after poll that have just, in the end, turned out to be wrong, and I've gotten my hopes up. And then, you know, and then I'm crushed in the end, especially with that last race where Danny lost by 1%. That devastated me. And so I pretty much numbed myself this election to be prepared. But I have a sense of peace and calm that I've never had before in any other race. I feel that my husband is going to win this. But we cannot be complacent, and we cannot take it for granted. And I think with the fact that we just witnessed how terrible the Kavanaugh situation was mishandled, there are a number of Democrats who have actually reached out to me and to my husband, and just to get it off their chest, to say, I'm so embarrassed, I'm disgusted, I'm going to, for the first time, vote Republican. That right there tells me we are in a great spot. He even had a huge Democrat out of Laughlin that had never donated to him, never supported him, and is now 100% in his corner. And he's very close with former Senator Harry Reid. And he pulled my husband aside and said, I cannot vote Democrat this time because of what they did to Justice Kavanaugh.
So you think there will be a positive impact for Republicans come Election Day as a result of this, what the president called over the weekend, an angry mob?
I don't think so. I know so. And I know so because the people that I'm talking to are people that are reaching out to me. And it's not me walking up to them and saying, hey, so what'd you think about the so-and-so? No, these people are actually approaching me at events. I'm talking like, you know, anywhere, at a baseball game, at a basketball game, at a political event, and they're sharing their thoughts with me, which is pretty incredible. So I don't think so. I know so. I know that we're going to have a bump, but we have to make sure, though, that that we keep this feeling and these emotions of distrust and disappointment and disgust going for the next 3 weeks. We cannot forget. We cannot get complacent, because they're already saying that if Democrats take control of the House this upcoming election, that they're going to try to impeach Justice Kavanaugh. We have to keep that in the back of our minds. That can't happen.
Yeah, they are hell-bent on the dreaded I word. I want to ask you, I know you folks have been up on TV. I just saw the first of the Susie Lee ads. I'm curious, are you satisfied that you'll be able to keep up? I mean, she's got a lot of money and she can self-fund. Are you convinced that you'll be able to keep up with her from a TV standpoint?
Well, here's the thing. We can't compete with her financially. My husband is working so hard on fundraising and he's doing a tremendous job. I don't think there's anyone out there that works harder than my husband and is on the phones more than my husband. In fact, it's pretty funny to watch him. We even go to D.C. and he sits there at the NRCC and they'll look at the numbers and all the calls that he makes and they are astounded. And they're just like, I is this man a robot? Is he a machine? Like, how does he do all this stuff? I mean, it's pretty fantastic. My husband's work ethic is off the charts, but there's no way we're going to be able to compete with the Democrats, unfortunately, because their third party money is, it's just constantly coming in. Yeah. And I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't looked at the FEC reports, but I don't think she's had to put in any of her own money. I could be wrong. The Democrats are also, they're really good at getting their membership to just max out immediately with no questions asked. Where the Republicans are a little bit slower, they're kind of going about their business, getting their work done, and then the checks kind of slowly start trickling in. So it's kind of hard to budget and make sure that things are running the way they should be when the money is not quite coming in as quickly as maybe the Democrats' side, as the way they're able to get it. But with that being said, I do believe that my husband's message is the right message. It's a strong message. It's an honest message. He has stuck to the facts, where Susie Lee, can have all the ads in the world that she wants up there, but she's being deceitful. She's spreading lies. And at the end of the day, my husband's going to be able to look at himself in the mirror and be happy with who he is. I don't know how she's going to be able to do it, but it doesn't seem to matter on their side, because my husband's in the middle of winning a second defamation lawsuit and she's repeating the lies.
Let me ask you, and I've only got about a minute, it's late in the race, but can people still help you? Can they still walk neighborhoods? Can they still put yard signs in? What is it you need at this point, and how can people reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, it's not too late. In fact, this is now we're sprinting, so we need all hands on deck. If they can go to TARK, TARKNV.com, we will have somebody reach out to you. Email us, call us. You can either make phone calls on Danny's behalf, go door knocking on his behalf, set up a meet and greet. If people have questions about any of those nasty TV ads, still, Danny'd be more than happy to go and sit down with you. If you have any fundraising opportunities, or if you want to mail in a donation check, that's always welcome. Any time, treasure, or talent that you may be able to contribute, we would love to have you.
Amy, always good. I know we're going to be talking with Danny a little bit later in the week. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I know we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
There you go. Maybe a future city councilwoman, Amy Tarkanian. She's considering a race for Lois Tarkanian's seat. Lois Tarkanian's a Democrat, also her mother-in-law. Wouldn't that be wild? Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now. Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
Here are some facts to consider about Question 3, the ballot measure that would deregulate electricity in Nevada.
Fact. In the 14 states that deregulated electricity, average residential rates are 30% higher than Nevada's.
Fact. When California tried deregulating electricity, it led to higher electric bills, the Enron scandal, and rolling blackouts. Today, California's average rates are nearly double ours.
Fact. Because electricity deregulation has been a costly failure, no states have tried it in nearly 20 years.
Fact. Question 3 would lock electricity deregulation into our state constitution, making it very difficult to repeal.
Fact. Question 3 is opposed by a bipartisan coalition, including AARP Nevada, the Urban Chamber of Commerce, and the Professional Firefighters of Nevada, because Question 3's electricity deregulation scheme would be bad for Nevada.
Learn more and join our growing coalition at KnowOn3.com.
Paid for by the Coalition to Defeat Question 3.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4, paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
My name is Dustin Coney. I'm the owner of Mr. Coney's Barbershop, and I'm a proud client of City National Bank. My grandfather was a barber, grew up in his shop, sweeping the floors. Being a barber is more than just somebody that's cutting hair. You are a friend, you're a brother, you're a neighbor, and that's what inspired me to get into it. I was referred to City National by Gina McAllister. She is somebody that I trust with my entire business.
When Dustin came to me as a new business owner, I knew referring him to City National Bank would be a good idea because I knew they would take care of him.
It was important to be with people that I know care about me and my success and offer products and services that will help my business reach its long-term goals. I see Mr. Coney's being in every city in the United States of America. I see products, I see hair salons, I see everything. And I know as my business grows, my relationship with City National will grow.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Guess who's coming up? I'm so excited. It's Monday. That means Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. That's all next. Live and local now. This is an important voter alert for anyone who doesn't want Nevada to turn into California. If you want to protect your gun rights, your parental rights, even your rights to use a plastic straw, check out Dennis Hoff. Dennis is a conservative small businessman running for the Nevada State Assembly. He signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge and is dedicated to making Nevada, Nevada again. Check him out at DennisHoff.com. That's DennisHoff.com. Paid for by Friends of Dennis Hoff.
After Adam Laxalt and Harry Reid refused to lift a finger to help me and my family while we were unjustly incarcerated for 2 years, I decided it's time to take our fight to Carson City. We need a governor who will defend the rights of all Nevadans. As governor, I fully support constitutional carry because the Constitution is the only document we need to carry our guns and protect our families. Adam Laxalt opposes constitutional carry. If you support constitutional carry, text Bundy to 53445.